Hi, my name is Nathan Totten, and welcome to Cloud Cover.
Hi, I'm Nick Harris.
Hi, my name is Sam Ng. I'm the dev lead on the Windows Azure Media Services team.
And my name is Alex Zambelli, and I'm the senior technical evangelist for Microsoft Media Platform, including Windows Azure Media Services.
Great. So you guys are going to be telling us a little bit about, obviously, Windows Azure Media Services, or something else. I guess we can talk about something completely different, but that wouldn't make too much sense. But before we do, as always, let's get started with the news.
All right. Where's your tie?
Oh, yeah, I was supposed to wear a tie, apparently. I did
old,
not.
All great newsreaders
wear ties. Was a specific tie, like a ducky tie?
He was wearing a t-shirt with a tie printed on it last time. elevating Cloud Cover to a whole new level of formal wear.
Yeah.
But anywho. So our first bit of news is the Windows Azure toolkit. It's the Service Bus samples in the Windows Azure toolkit has been shipped and announced and all that stuff, which we demoed about a month ago on the show, right?
Yeah, but today we've got a really nice in-depth post by Will Perry from the Service Bus team. So he goes on to tell you about what Service Bus is, what queues are, topic subscriptions, and then dives into the sample Metro library, which they've created.
Cool.
Going and interacting with Service
Was
Bus.
This available before, is it just available now to download?
No, this has been available for about a month now since we demoed it with Abhishek on the show. But this is a bit more of a deeper dive into how it actually all works.
Cool, very cool. So our next news items, we have a whole bunch of events coming up with Windows Azure. The first event is called Meet Windows Azure. This event's hosted by Scott Guthrie. It's going to be in San Francisco on June 7th, and we're going to be talking about all the latest stuff. Scott's going to be talking about all the latest features and news and everything around Windows Azure, around the Windows Azure platform.
So that's an online streamed event, right? So people can come and join and watch it online?
Yeah, so I think they're going to have some people in person, but then, yeah, free for anyone to join and online and watch it streamed. So
awesome. So I think we can put a link up to where people can go and find out more.
We'll have a link and details.
Yeah.
Our next event is the Angel Hack, I guess it's called. Mm. So it's and this is actually there's four events, right?
Sounds a little bit violent.
The Angel Hack. That's awful. That is awful. Bob, please do not do anything with that. So
what is it?
So the Angel Hack, it's four events in a few cities. Basically, I guess you get together, a bunch of developers get together, build some apps on Windows Azure, and enter for a chance to win $25,000 of angel funding for their startup. And I think they're in, where are they, Seattle, Palo Alto, Boston, and New York.
Yeah, I think there's also 12 months free Azure for the people who win that as well.
Cool.
So that's pretty cool to get you sort of kick-started on your startup ideas.
Cool. And we'll have, as always, we'll have links to those as well. So our next event that was just announced this week is the Learn Windows Azure event. So this is an entire day of Windows Azure on the first day of TechEd North America. We're going to have, you know, Scott Gu and a bunch of other people talk about all the latest features with the Windows Azure Cloud platform. So this is going to be really exciting, and we're also going to stream it for free online.
Awesome.
So really, like a whole bunch of content for developers. It's in the East Coast, so. The first thing is quite early in the morning, like 6 a.m. here is the keynote. Yeah. But for developers who don't really want to wake up early, you know, you can log in whenever you want and watch the show. So yeah, Scott Gu, a whole bunch of other really good speakers talking about all the latest stuff.
Nice.
We'll have the links and everything on that. Like I said, free online.
Yep.
Do you have anything to add to this?
It sounds pretty good. I think you're doing okay.
All right.
We won't fire you yet.
All right. And so just to pull up real quick, we've also got the, and we'll have a link to the website on here. So Scott Gu, Mark Rosenovich, and Quinton Clark are all going to be keynoting, or I guess presenting at that event. So, and we'll have the link with the schedule for that event.
Awesome.
So, and our final bit of news is our next series of Windows Azure Dev Camps. We're going to have a whole bunch of dev camps around the world. Mm-hmm. Again, all free events, kicking off in June, and we'll have the schedule available. But basically, these are Presenters, I'm presenting at a couple of them. You're presenting at some of the Australia ones. Yep. Basically, all around the world.
And New Zealand.
New Zealand
is not Australia.
Oh. I was always under the impression that they were not. That they were the same one. He's always very quick to clarify that point. They're not the same one. So, but yeah, all like we've got. I'll be in Brazil, Sao Paulo, Brazil, Buenos Aires. We have. Bunch in Europe. I don't remember all of them, but a whole bunch of them around the world. Free events where you can basically come hear presentations from Windows Azure engineering, about, you know, a variety of folks in Windows Azure, and you know, sort of learn about the Windows Azure platform and the latest features we have. Yep. So
and really, of course, free.
Yes, free. Yep. That's like, are you like yep. you're pushing like everything? Everything is free.
Free love.
So great. I think we're really rusty. This has been a few weeks since we've done the show. I don't think we're off to a great start, but that's all right.
Let's do it all over again.
Yeah. I think the people in the studio are probably going to quit if we start over at this point.
But I think one key thing to mention on the Dev Camps events that are going out is essentially they are free, but there's limited capacity in those. So we'll put the registration links up online where you can find out more information, but you should, if you're planning on attending, you should register as soon as possible.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and the link we'll have on the show will take you to this site and you can sign up and get your spot. So
cool.
Awesome. Well, with that, I think we're done with the news. A little bumpy start to the show. and so now I think we're going to, let's move into our segment and talk about the exciting new stuff with Windows Azure Media Services. So I guess to start, I don't know who wants to go first, but why don't you guys give us a little overview of what Windows Azure Media Services is?
So Azure Media Services, so for a number of years now, we have a number of on what we call on-premises media services technologies. So we're talking about media services technologies for streaming, transcoding, DRM encryption, and so on that we've implemented for Windows Server, for IIS. So IIS Media Services was our basically our streaming media service from IIS, and we're taking all those technologies and we're putting them in the cloud, and that's essentially what Azure Media Services is. So we're going to have the capability to do transcoding, to do streaming, to do DRM encryption, and then later on in the year we're also adding live streaming capabilities as well.
Cool. Okay. So it's. I mean, as with most things on Windows Azure, this is a platform service where I don't have to set up any infrastructure. If I want to say publish a video and have it streamed, I assume to a variety of different devices, I can just push that up to the cloud. You guys encode it and then publish it out. Is it available? Do I have to specify like the format of the video? Is it only available with a Silverlight player, or can I use it on say an iPad also?
So the primary goal is really to simplify really the workflow as much as possible. But we're gonna offer multiple inputs, multiple outputs. So you're gonna be able to upload videos in multiple formats, and then use an encoder of your choice. So one option would be, for example, an encoder based on our Microsoft Expression encoder. But we'll also have partner encoders. We're already announced several partners such as VSS Software, Digital Rapids, and Ateme. And we're going to be announcing more partners in the future as well. But
cool.
Those are examples of, for example, encoding partners. So you're going to be able to choose the encoder you want, and then, of course, the output profile that you want, the encoding options that you'd like to use. So we're not just going to be targeting necessarily one type of client, like such as Silverlight. We're going to be really multi-platform and pretty client platform agnostic in that sense.
Cool. Okay.
One of the things that you, like you mentioned, you called it a platform. It really is geared to be that. It's more of a developer platform where I can come and I can kind of develop my services so that my customers can kind of, come through my portal to take advantage of the cloud resources and all that sort of stuff to do my encoding and transcoding jobs and all that kind of stuff, right? So, you mentioned like if I've got a, I'm taking a video from my phone or something and I want to be able to live transcode that thing. Yes, you could use the platform in the, I'm going to take my video, I'm going to go upload it to the platform, I'm going to go and specify all the output formats that I want, I'm going to specify all the different CDN locations that I want to be able to stream the thing to, or you can come up to one of our partner services that we will be working with and use them as more of your portal-based experience where they may provide a much easier way for you to do that, a much more higher level kind of way for you to use the streaming services.
Okay. So basically, I mean, we're offering these lower level services, and the idea is that a bunch of partners, like someone who wanted to make, like, say, their own version of YouTube or something, could go build that on our platform, and then you as the end user or even the developer could use their platform, which is on top of our platform, to provide value. I mean, we can't fill every single possibility that with video, so.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Very cool.
Exactly, yeah. The goal isn't to provide like some sort of user interface where you go to a website and, you know, it's a Microsoft website, and you go and upload your video to that website.
Yep.
And so that's not the goal. The goal is really to provide a platform for others to build that kind of service.
So let's say that I'm a developer or a partner, mm-hmm. and I want to go and build out some SaaS solution that uses media services. What are my integration points? How do I develop a solution? What kind of API are you exposing?
So there's a couple of things first. Like, first of all, you know, as a SaaS developer, you will have access to a bunch of APIs that we provide. So the very fundamental API that we'll provide is a REST-based API using OData. We've also, for our public beta, which we've just announced, we've also provided a .NET client API, right, which we're looking to get up on GitHub and open source and that kind of thing for folks to be able to see how the internals work. But essentially, the .NET client APIs will wrap the REST API calls and deal with all the data service management type things for you, so that you can kind of have a much easier .NET programming experience. But as a SaaS provider, you will be able to use our APIs to basically do everything in a first-class kind of way. So, for example, when we talk about media, we always talk about this notion of assets, right? Whether they're video assets, audio assets, image assets, that kind of thing, there's this notion of assets. And so through our APIs, you can work with the assets in a very first-class kind of way. They all become OData entities, RESTful entities that you can, you know, you can update them, you can query them, all your typical CRUD operations, right? Like create, retrieve, update, and delete. You can manage all of that through our APIs, and everything from, you know, job templates and task management and scheduling and all that kind of stuff, everything is provided through our APIs in a very first class kind of way.
Nice. Cool. So you mentioned workflow. So, mm-hmm. so I mean, the idea of like streaming video, right, is not new. I mean, that's pretty easy. You can, you know, I mean, you could do that now. But I think part of what my understanding of media services is that it sort of builds these added features, I guess, on top of it. Something I've heard about is like where you can customize, say, the advertising experience in a video.
Sure.
If I want to put ads in my video, I could target that to a particular user. And like I've heard, maybe you can do that on, like, on the fly or on demand, you know, maybe while the video is playing. Can you tell us a little bit about kind of how those features work, or what, you know, what stuff is available, or if I'm just making that up completely? None of that exists. I don't know.
No, that's all available. I mean,
it's all there, yeah.
All of these technologies, like I said earlier, have been really around for a while. You know, so when we talk about things like advertising scenarios, for example, we've had the capability of doing dynamic ad insertion on the client, for example, for a while now. Most of our technologies have been built around our streaming technology that's called Swoosh Streaming, which is HTTP-based adaptive streaming technology. And so we built, over the years, we built clients for that, and we built the ability to insert ads and so on. Really, like, what sort of Azure Media Services brings to the picture is it simplifies that workflow in the sense that in the past, if you wanted to basically, if you were, you know, your own shop and you wanted to set up and build everything from scratch, you had to go first build a, you know, farm of encoding workstations, for example, and you had to either put Expression Encoder on that or some, you know, partner encoding product on there, like Digital Rapids or Harmonic or some of the products like that. Build out that work farm, make sure that you have enough capacity to actually do your encoding for your, you know, for your needs. Then you had to go partner, for example, with some DRM providers, so they would do the encryption of the content for you. Then you would have to go partner with, or build your own, for example, origin infrastructure and make sure you have enough origin servers that's going to serve out all the content. Partner with a CDN. There was a lot of pieces to it, and what we're now saying is that if you don't want to go and build this on your own, I mean, you still have the option to if you want to. But if that's too expensive for you, if you don't have the resources at your company to invest into building out your own infrastructure, you can do this in the cloud.
Huh.
So we will basically, all you have to do is upload your content, your source content, to the cloud, and we will provide you with a way of transcoding that content to other formats, applying DRM encryption, we'll host it. So all you have to, we're basically hooking up blob storage to, we're giving the streaming capabilities, so that when you move your media into blob storage, you can actually stream it from there. And then we're also hooking up CDNs directly to the blob storage so that you can serve it out and scale it out to the CDNs.
Cool.
And awesome. So that's all being taken care of for the customer.
So one of the things that Alex kind of mentioned is, like, you know, you have all these different technologies that you need to string together to make your, I guess, what we call the encoding or transcoding pipeline. But you also have to work with a bunch of other companies and vendors to be able to piece all those things together. And depending on what format you want to go to, or depending on what target audience you have, you may want to choose a different encoder piece, for example, mm-hmm. or you may want to choose a different DRM piece. And in the past, you would have to go and find some contact that on company X that works on this thing, and you're going to talk with them and negotiate and all that kind of stuff. Well, for Windows Azure Media Services, we have done that work for you. So we are going to be building one of the key tenets of the platform is that it's going to be a partner extensible platform. Right? So we'll be going to integrate with all these different partners, all these different encoder partners, all the different DRM partners, watermarking partners, CDN partners, and we'll bring them all into the same platform for you so that you can use it very easily. Again, through our APIs, you can just specify, hey, I want to use, Expression Encoder, I want to use, Digital Rapids for transcoding portion of my job. I want to use Azure CDN, and I want to go and string this up myself in this kind of workflow. Hmm. And then you hit the button, and then it just kind of goes in and does all that stuff for you. Hmm. And again, like Alex mentioned, in the past you had to go and build out your farms. Well, the cloud is a big happy farm, right? And so we kind of get to take advantage of all the cloud resources for you, and you get build on demand for these things instead of having to stand up your own clusters, and you get the added benefit of cloud in the traditional media workflow kind of format.
Hmm. That sounds really cool. I mean, it sounds like this is really lowering the bar. Like, if I'm a startup, I mean, all the things you were describing before, I don't know how much they cost, but it sounds like, I mean, literally you could be talking millions of dollars build out, like, if you want to start your own, public access type channel or your own version of Hulu or something.
Exactly. It's more of a pay as you go model versus an upfront investment where you go have to buy all these servers, buy all the encoders up front, right? And then maybe you don't end up using them. And that's been one of the problems for a lot of companies has been that their volume is not always the same. There are companies that, for example, do transcoding of content on a regular basis, but sometimes they have 30,000 titles they have to do in a month. Sometimes they have 1,000 titles they have to do in a month. And so if you go and build for your peak capacity, right, and you're thinking, okay, I need to be able to handle 30,000 titles that I'm going to encode every mm-hmm. month, and you go and build out your infrastructure, and then next month that volume goes down, you're basically wasting all those machines, right? They're just sitting there, they're doing nothing. Hmm. Whereas here with Azure, of course, you have the ability to scale as you need. So you could be using, three workers. You could be using 30. You could be using 300, depending on how many you need.
Cool. So have you announced pricing yet, or is that still yet to?
Pricing is still being determined.
Okay.
So we haven't announced it yet. We are taking feedback from customers and partners about pricing right now. What we have announced is that there's going to be a public preview available sometime in the next week or two. That public preview, I believe, is going to be free for until we basically go to RTW. So you can ready for release.
You can sign up for the preview right now, and we're taking kind of pre-request type things. And it's going to be sort of a first come, first serve kind of basis. So the sign-up link is going to be on our website on,
cool.
on Windows Azure.
And we'll put it on the link.
Is it on
this
page
show?
You've got up?
I think it's at the bottom.
It is actually. Yeah, this is at the bottom of the page. So
right there.
Yeah.
Oh, it's an email right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the media services part is free, but I assume you still have, like, if you're using compute or storage to store your videos, that part is still going to, you're still going to have to pay for, right?
So right now you're going to be paying for storage. So the idea is that, one of our security tenets is that, we don't want to have access to all of your data whenever we want to, right? So all of the data that you'll be uploading, all of your assets will be in your storage accounts, and so you'll own those storage accounts, and obviously you pay the regular Azure storage fees for that account.
Okay.
But all the compute during the beta, all the compute will run in our account, and so all the compute will be free.
Cool. Right. Cool.
What options are available as far as region for the beta?
So right now we're only available in Europe, and so that just has to do with where we're kind of targeted our initial offering. Doesn't matter if you don't live in Europe. U.S.-based customers can also sign up for the beta, and they'll be they'll get an account in the European data centers as well. And then when we light up more accounts, when we go publicly available, you can then go and sign up for U.S.-based accounts as well. And we'll be available in Asia as well too, and basically anywhere Azure is.
Cool. So are you using? You mentioned CDN. Are you using the same Windows Azure CDN infrastructure? It's like 26 locations around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So are all of those like enabled for smooth streaming now, or does it only serve out of some of them for the beta period?
So because we're enabling smooth streaming actually from the cloud, from the origin servers themselves, the CDN just basically is doing HTTP distribution at that point. So the CDNs don't necessarily need to be smooth streaming enabled. They're really just treating it as HTTP data, which is really the one of the biggest benefits of HTTP-based adaptive streaming, such as smooth streaming. So we are supporting Azure CDN, and we'll also be supporting partner CDNs as well.
Cool. Okay. So you say it's only the service is only available in Europe, but I assume since you're using the CDN, you'll actually still be able to get really good performance when you're testing, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when we talk about locations, we talk about like the location of the origin service, but actual distribution can happen to anywhere in the world through the CDN.
The thing you will need to keep in mind, though, is that you'll get pretty decent performance with CDNs when you're talking about delivery, but when you're talking about uploading your initial assets into the data center, your storage account will also be in Europe. So if you're a US-based customer, whatever latency you get going into the data center in Europe, you'll still eat that.
Gotcha. Right. That makes sense. Cool. Yeah. So we've talked a lot about uploading a video that already exists, like say we were uploading cloud cover to that and encoding it and publishing it. Is there anything with like say we want to do cloud cover live? Could we actually use these services to broadcast live video as well?
Yeah, that's actually in the works as well. So what we're doing is the first stage of Azure Media Services that we're bringing online is the what we call VOD, video on demand services. And that's really sort of for offline video delivery. For live broadcast, for live streaming, those services are going to be coming online a little bit later, later this year, probably in the beta form, and then sometime next year release. But we're actually going to be doing a very huge, important event this summer, and we're going to be doing it on Windows Azure Media Services, and that's the London Summer Olympics.
Cool.
The Summer Olympics, we're working with a number of broadcasters around the world, actually. We're going to be delivering all the live events from the London Olympics using Azure Media Services. People can go to the actual official London Olympics website, and if they go to the video section where the torch relay is, that video is actually being delivered from Azure Media Services.
Cool.
That's awesome.
That's
huge.
I mean, that's not a small customer, not a small example. So really cool. Great. So I expect once this releases, we're going to start seeing a lot of, even from really small sites, like even a guy with a blog could use it for podcasting all the way up to the Olympics or.
Yeah. So one of the definitely nice things about the cloud is that it is infinitely scalable, right? And like Alex mentioned, we are a on-demand service. You do pay on-demand as you use the thing, right? So we've talked so far about like the big corporation type, the Hulu. If you're trying to build your own Hulu, or if you're trying to build the Olympics, those are large-scale things with lots of budget and lots of return on that. But one of the things that we do envision Windows Azure Media Services lighting up is a scenario like let's say I'm a high school football coach, right? And I've only got I have one recording of my kid's game a week, and I just want to make sure that all of them can watch it so that, before the next week's practice kind of thing, right? So I don't really care, how fast my encoding gets done. I don't really care, when my job gets done. I just need it to get done by the end of the week kind of thing, right? So those kinds of scenarios are going to be lit up where in the past, they would never be possible, right?
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, usually those scenarios you just think of like uploading to
right,
Dropbox
exactly.
or something
right.
and downloading it, which is like, which I guess is okay, but it isn't really. I mean, you've got to download the whole video.
Right,
you can't fast
right.
forward. You've got to wait an hour before you can actually watch the thing. So I
right,
think,
exactly.
yeah, it does open up these new scenarios to a whole new audience to actually give a very rich online streaming,
right,
streaming
right.
capability where a guy can sit on his iPad or his Windows 8 tablet when they come out and just
yeah.
sit there and
we're
watch.
We're going to also give a lot of developers the ability to really build their own YouTube type sites.
Right. Cool.
So you can imagine like the high school football coach scenario, right? You can imagine the high school's website allowing the parents and grandparents and things to live to watch the football games and hockey games live as they're kind of playing.
That would be really that's a really cool idea. I mean, that's like, I'm sure that there's probably some places that do it, but I mean, I can imagine the cost of doing a live broadcast today is way more than anyone would normally afford. And I assume that basically with these services, it's probably a digital camera and a laptop and an internet connection, and you could pretty much run a streaming broadcast, which is that's really cool.
It's gonna be some really awesome stuff coming out there using this, I think. So hopefully some of our viewers are really creative and come up with this awesome startup and just go really well using this.
Nice. All right, well, with that, I think it's our tip of the week. I wanted to, so last week, was it last week? No, the week before when I was gone, you guys made fun of me for not having a tie. Yeah. I was visiting, my fiance was graduating from law school, and while I was there, something came up about cloud cover, and she jokingly mentioned that she'd never had been mentioned on cloud cover. Okay. So not wanting me to actually put her on cloud cover, but I'm going to actually ask Bob to incorporate. I'm going to give him some pictures and have him incorporate that in the tip of the week with the goal of thoroughly embarrassing her. Something, I mean, she just graduated from law school, so we're probably going to have to incorporate that in there. But this is my own personal thing, so it has nothing to do with the show, but it's going to be hilarious for me. She may not find it to be as funny, but...
And for all our viewers, grab a bucket or look away from the screen now, unless you're a hopeless romantic.
No, I don't want it to be romantic. I want it to be hilarious. Let's be clear about this. This is in no way a nice gesture. This is
Tip of the week this week, how to end up on the couch.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So with that, we've like given up on we don't have any consistency now. With that, it's the tip of the week. It's never perfect.
So, this tip of the week this week, this is one Nate chose out, and it's...
no, it is. Don't blame this on me.
I did read it.
Yeah, it's like,
I promise.
Sorry.
So, this is from Nuno, one of our MVPs.
Yep.
I apologize if I butchered your name, but anyhow...
It's four letters. It's Nuno.
Okay.
It's pretty hard to mess that up, I think.
So this is only cloud practice.
Dude, it's Nuno, not Nuno.
Yeah, unless either we're saying it right or everyone ever has been saying it wrong. So hopefully that's the right way to say it.
But I guess this week I wanted to highlight it because it is a blog with 8 essential tips for working with Windows Azure Blob Storage. So these are quite valuable tips for people. So let's have a look at some of them. So the first one here is always define the content type of each element. So an example of that is... if you're doing, say, tile notifications in Windows 8, and you upload an image, you want to define the content type of that blob to be an image such that the client can render it correctly. So that's a cool example there. The next one here is always define the cache control header for each element. So if I upload, say, a video or something like that into blob storage, and I want to go and, say, perhaps use CDN, specifying the cache control header then can say we can go... Perhaps say this is a video that I want out there for a year or something like that. So I specify the header for 1 year, and then that means it's going to be cached at the CDN edge node for 1 year. So the good thing about that essentially is I think by default there's some heuristics that are performed that if you don't specify a cache control header, the thing will move out to the CDN based on the consumption of that. It goes and determines like the best lifetime for that. But I think by memory it was only several days that it would maximize.
I think it's 3 days maybe, which if you have a static image that you're going to keep forever, it'll cost you more money. Yeah, it's
be
less
pushing
performant.
It out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So always specify your cache control header. So the next one that we've got here is so upload contents to blob storage in parallel. So I think that one's reasonably obvious. Speed things up. Choose the right blob type. So there's a couple of blob options available. Do you want to talk about them a little bit, Nate?
Oh, I don't know what they're on. No. it's really put me on the spot here. Yeah. Just depending on the page one is if you have very large content and you need to upload it in chunks, and the other one is for the other scenario. I was not even listening to you, and you're just like, and Nate, go tell us about this.
I was literally just
standing here.
How far through calculating pi did you
take?
It's like being called out in class. Yeah. You're like,
can you repeat the question?
Yeah. Okay. So use get blob properties or get blob metadata whenever you only need that specific information. So there's a cost to calling that. Take snapshots to improve availability and caching. So a snapshot of a blob. I'm not really sure what he's going into there. We probably should read this.
We didn't get that far in the article. Yeah. Seems like a good idea, whatever. He's an MVP, so he probably knows what he's doing.
Well, let's go to commercials.
Yeah. We need another commercial break. We're going to start adding commercials to Cloud Cover so that we can read the content.
Yeah. I guess.
And this is as far as Nick has read, so we can stop.
We sort of lost it with that 1 week off. We lost all our
I know. We were getting... I feel like we were improving, but feel free to leave comments if you don't think we're improving. no one has yet wrote a comment that we should be fired, so we're not doing terribly poorly.
Don't prompt them to do that.
Please leave feedback.
This is the intern that you're dealing with.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes our shows haven't sparked a lot of debate, but there have been a few shows in the past that have had pretty significant. There was one show where people were complaining about Steve and Wade's joking, and there was someone who was "Get these guys off the show. I want serious content." It's like, just watch a different show, because this show is clearly the one that we goof around on.
So let's finish up with the last two here. So the next one is enable the CDN for better availability. So essentially, enabling CDN on blob storage is quite easy. You guys talked about it today, about how CDN can be used to push out your content to edge nodes such that there's less latency for users that want to consume that data. But to enable CDN on top of blob storage is really, really easy. It's quite literally a matter of going into the portal and ticking a checkbox. Once you do that, then your content is going to start pushing out through the CDN if your clients that are consuming the data are using the CDN URL.
Yep.
So on top of that CDN, we've got a few options. So we do support HTTP and HTTPS content, and we also do support query string versioning of content if you want to, say, perhaps replace something at a later point in time. You can do query string v2 or something like that.
Which isn't generally the best practice, though. Usually you're supposed to actually name, what I've often done is done a hash of, say it's a minified CSS document, I'll do a hash of that and name it the hash, because there are some proxy servers that won't, that'll remove, or they won't use the query string when retrieving from the cache. So I think, there's probably some scenarios that you should use that, but I think mostly you should use the file name rather than the query string.
Yeah, so URL versioning is available, and that's a really great tip. I think perhaps we should also make people aware, though, if they do have a file and they've, say, set the cache control header to 1 year, and then they do use the URL versioning to change that, that file is still going to be available out there on the web.
Yep.
It's not going to disappear from the CDN.
Yep.
And the last thing here is to serve static content directly from blob storage. So this is a really powerful example of how you can deliver static websites and such. So with that, I think that covers our 8 tips of the week.
Cool. Very
Thanks
cool.
Thanks very much, Nuno.
We've had a theme recently of our tips of the week have been top 10 lists or something. I think maybe Nuno's figured out, maybe people are starting to figure out how they can get their blog on Cloud Cover. If you do a top 8 or something, it's been usually for the last 3 or 4 weeks, that's been the one we picked up. So, anywho, hopefully this wasn't too much of a catastrophe.
Yes.
thank you guys for joining us and explaining media services. Definitely seems like something that's really cool. And I mean, I can think of a ton of examples of why people would want to use it. So.
Yeah.
So with that, as always, follow us on Cloud Cover or at Cloud Cover. At Cloud Cover. It's been a while since at Cloud Cover Show on Twitter. And feel free to leave comments in the blog or send Nick an email if you have any complaints or feedback. So thanks a lot, and we'll see you next week.